Good morning, my fellow Michiganders. Good morning, my fellow Americans. Holy cow, am I excited for this interview. But before we get started with that, welcome to the Grassroots Army Podcast. I am, of course, your host, former Michigan gubernatorial candidate Garrett Soldano, and we are into our second month. Remember, with the Grassroots Army and being Grassroots Army strong, we're trying to get better physically, mentally, spiritually, and financially. And this is into our second pillar now. So we're going into the mental component of things. And the gentleman that I'm going to bring on over not only today, but for the next couple weeks is one of my mentors. This gentleman coached me personally. He was one of my firewalking instructors. He has an unbelievable story. And I have sent many, many, many of my patients to Joe White. And every single patient that have ever come back always comes back a better version of themselves. And so I vouch for this guy. I'm excited to heck. So we're just going to have a nice conversation and all of us are going to get better mentally. That is for sure today. So I'm bringing them on. Hey, Joe.
Garrett. Hello, Garrett. Hello, everybody. Hello,
how you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm super excited. Any chance I get to spend some face time with you, my brother, and to service others is just such a win-win for me.
Yeah, I love it. And you can already feel your energy coming through the screen, man. And that's one of the most magnificent things about it is when you get around like-minded people, some energetic people, it ends up being a good time. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I said, I'm excited to be here. You know, driving in, I dropped my somewhat sick daughter off from school. She's banged her head walking and did a little bit of a 10-year-old face plant, unfortunately. But I was thinking about you and I, right? Like, you know, connecting my thoughts. And I went back to one of the first times we met, back when you came to the Firewalking Institute that was owned by a different person. I bought the company and moved it here to Delaware. We were in Texas. I was on my way, progressing up the ranks there. And you were there for your certification. And I remember it was either early or after, but we met in the kitchen. Right. And you were telling me about your history, about football, about your passion. And we had that connection right there. You know what I mean? And I think the cool thing about what I realized from firewalking is that, you know, when you teach this and when you're around it, you meet so many different types of people, different people from this country, different people from out of this country, totally different belief structures. But at the end of the day, not everybody, but the average person wants happiness, wants to take care of their family, want the freedom to do the things they want to do, to love, to succeed, all of that. And that's one of the reasons why I love the Firewalking Tribe. I also own Get Life Coaching. That's, you know, I've been doing that for 25 years. But that's the reason why, because it melts away some of those boundaries and barriers that we were so used to looking at and interfacing with, and we start to see people for who they are, right? Just human beings trying their best to better themselves, for their families, for their friends, their communities, their churches, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to go back into the Texas moment, you know, just sometimes when you're on your journey, you run into people, you meet people that you're supposed to meet, and you grow together, which is just a fantastic thing about this beautiful journey that we call life. But I always just kind of resonated with your story on how you got involved with all of this. Would you be willing to share your story about, you know, you seeing the Tony Robbins infomercial? That's one of my favorite stories of all time.
Yeah. I'll try to keep it short, right? So you got to go back 30 plus years ago. I grew up in an area called Delaware County, Delco. If you saw the TV series, Mayor of East Town, right? I think it's East Town, Eastwich, East Town. That's Delco, right? Saturday Night Live made fun of Delco, right? I'm an Eagles fan, so it's all of that, right? So I moved to New York in 89, right? Yes, to do modeling. I met a very famous photographer named Steven Mizell. He did Madonna's sex book, Like a Virgin cover. And through a mutual friend, he wanted to shoot me. So I did like 6 pages in Rolling Stone magazine, back cover interview magazine, full page out in Vanity Fair. I was in the window display for Valentino, right? So I moved to New York to sing right, to start a rock band. I thought I could sing. I had hair. But to pursue modeling. So I worked at this major nightclub called the Limelight, 20th and 6th Avenue. You might know of it. If you're from New York, if you're from that area, you know it was a big, big nightclub. And I went there. And when I went there, I wasn't in bad shape with my life. I was headed towards bad shapeness, right? But I wasn't in addiction and alcoholism, but I was lost, right? So it didn't take me long because even in those days, I worked my ass off. I worked up to the VIP lounge. So I met everybody from rock stars to Colombian drug smugglers. Got hooked up with the wrong people. You know where the story goes. Yep. And one night I overdosed. I died. I was in a Colombian drug smuggler's apartment, a loft. He said to my girlfriend at the time, your boyfriend is dying. He's blue. He's not breathing. I'll call 911, but he can't die here. So this girl had dragged me literally out of the apartment by herself, down the elevator and out to the concrete sidewalk. EMTs came. They resuscitated me. You know, thank God for early responders, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be talking. And I went to St. Vincent's Hospital. It was a Friday. The next day was Saturday. And the first thing that went through my mind is cocaine, because that was my drug of choice. Cocaine can't kill me. So I'm going to go out and get more, right? And then I eventually realized the problem wasn't me. It was New York City, right? So if anyone has any addiction personally or in the family, you know how the story goes. We make up all the excuses. We look at every – we do this in life too, right? We look at every possible example except – or source of pain except what's really the source of pain. And I moved out of New York City, went back to my mom and dad right outside the Philadelphia airport, and – probably about 6-8 months, I was kicked out of my parents' house because I drained my parents' liquor bottles. They were not big drinkers, but they realized there was no alcohol. So I moved in this two-room apartment. I was depressed on antidepressants, seeing psychiatrists and psychologists. But I had a DUI. Like, my life was spiraling down. I was suicidal in my thoughts, right? And I saw an infomercial, November 1993, for Tony Robbins. And I thought it was the biggest bunch of BS I ever heard before, right? Because, like, money, get rich quick, right? This and that. But he said one thing that resonated with me. And that was, your past does not equal your future. Doesn't matter how many times you screwed up in the past. Right now, we all have this capability of making a choice, right? We can make a choice right now and change the trajectory forever. If you're $10,000, $20,000, $40,000 in debt, no, you won't get out of debt today. But that decision that changes the trajectory to get you out of debt, that decision is right now. So I had to watch the infomercial for 3 nights because I'm stubborn. I bought the tapes, November 93, and I remember, Garrett, like, I still have it, like, the book, the little book of the cassette tapes. The first question was, what are two changes you need to make in your life? And the first thing I wrote was, clean my apartment, then stop doing coke. Because I figured if I did coke one more time, it would help me clean my apartment. Then I'm like, no, I never do that. So I crossed that off. Stop doing coke, because I thought that's what it was. See, we don't understand the depths of how these patterns are. Yeah, the cocaine use was where it was causing the most pain, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was everything else I was doing, but that really wasn't the problem. The problem was what was inside of me, how I felt about me, right? My belief, my self-worth, am I enough? And clearly by my actions, I didn't value myself very high. I was killing myself. So I'm in this apartment. I end up buying those tapes. I start listening to them and using them. And it took me a couple months. But finally, on St. Patty's Day, purely by example, in 94, I made a commitment. Right? My commitment was to live my life, better or worse, without drugs and alcohol. Right. And I got addicted to listening to those tapes because there was a school of a thought behind them. It was mechanics behind them. And I listened to them for 5 years, no lie, over and over again. I would get done one day 30, put day one in. And it built up this knowledge base. And then eventually, 5 years into it, a friend of mine takes me to WrestleMania. I see Tony Robbins is coming here. I'm like, what's the coincidence of this? I buy the ticket. I go to Tony Robbins. It was Tony Robbins. Donald Trump spoke there. A bunch of Eagles players. Brian Tracy spoke there. But it was something about immersion, of being like totally like lost in the experience for a couple hours, where I hyper grew. I went home, I signed up for the seminar, I did my first firewalk, and then I bought everything. I'm that type of person, right? Yep. It's good, more must be better, right? It worked for me. And I got very involved in Tony's company. I did all his programs. I was a leader. I was eventually recruited to be a coach for him. But I've been an entrepreneur my whole life. As much as I love Tony Robbins, what he does, I felt my purpose was to help people more directly, not in a support staff. So without much knowledge, other than some entrepreneur skills, since I started a business when I was 12, I opened up Get Life Coaching, two clients in my basement with a phone. And then 25 years later, still doing it, got clients around the world. And in that process, fell in love with firewalking so much, I bought the Firewalking Institute. And we have it housed here in Delaware, moved it from Texas to here. So it's a big story, I know. But, you know, it's been a challenging 25 years just because you make a commitment to change your life, whether it's like, I'm not going to be depressed anymore, I'm not going to be a victim to my own circumstances, or I'm not going to be drugs and alcohol, whatever, right? Once you make the decision, that's when the work begins. I think most people think the decision is, which is paramount, is the work. Nah, the decision is that consistency, right? Day in, day out. Anybody can do it for a month. We see that at the gym right now. Was it February 5th? Yeah, the gyms are empty now because 90% of the people think it's a decision. It's not. It's the work. And that's what I help my clients do, find that alignment so they're more incongruent with who they are, so they become more aerodynamic, more efficient in their decisions and actions.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or go search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to unload there. You threw so many gems out there, especially with right in the beginning with your work ethic. You know, you continued, you'd use the repetition, you did the work, you continue to re-listen. You just didn't do it for 30 days. And like, hey, it's a life journey. Literally, you're always trying to get better in some aspect of your life every single day. That's how you wake up. That's how I wake up, is literally, what am I going to do today to get a little better? Who am I going to serve? Who am I going to help? And just you with that mentality, good things happen. So. Yeah. So obviously in the description to let everyone know, Joe's coaching website is there, Get Life Coaching. So if you want to check him out and see what he has to offer, he does personal and business coaching. He does free. You still do the free consult, Joe?
Yeah. If I put the link in the chat, can you, I have a little link for you guys. And just like I said, it's a complimentary session. Give me 1 second. It's, and it's a complimentary session to kind of, you know, to kind of deep dive a little bit. We take the gloves off. This is not a, I'm going to try to sell you. It's like, let's get our hands dirty. See if it's a good fit. You know, I'm not a good fit for everybody, but for those who I am a good fit, I'm a really good fit. There we go.
Yeah, I would speak on that. Like, you don't sugarcoat anything.
No, because you know what? Like we need people, right? To tell us what we don't want to hear, that we need to hear. Now, we got plenty of assholes out there, right, that will tell us their opinions. I don't listen to them. I don't pay people for their knowledge. I pay people for their wisdom, their experience. Knowledge is good, but remember, knowledge is learned. It's only through application that converts to wisdom. And we earn that, brother. We've been friends and colleagues and associates for a long time. I've watched your journey, right? It's not a straight line, right? It is always pivoting. But you got to keep moving forward, right? That's the key. Because one of the things I learned from firewalking is nothing in life has any meaning until you assign it meaning, right? We get that choice. Some days it's hard. Some days it feels impossible. But just because it feels impossible, it doesn't change the mechanical step, right? And I think where we end up is like society says this should mean that to you. So it's easy. Why think for ourselves? And we just assimilate other people. I look at it more simply. Okay. To get a big fire going, it takes a lot of work, right? The last thing you want to do is dump water on it. So the simple coaching I give my clients and I do myself, my whole goal for coaching isn't to help that person out of their problem. That's easy for me. But I use that situation as a dojo to help train them to be a stronger, better coach in their own lives. Like, that's the key, because when you're not with me, what are you going to do? So I look at everything, two things, everything. I don't care if someone stole money from me. I have a choice to put it in one of two categories, because it's going to go in one. And I don't like, hey, I'm a risk reward guy, right? Very binary in my thinking. I don't like odds that are stacked against me, right? I like higher probability to win. So the way I look at this is everything in my life, I have the choice. I can make it either food for my fire, throw another big ass log on that fire. Let's get this thing going, Garrett. Let's get it hotter, right? Or we can throw a bucket of water and start putting out the fire we worked so hard to get for. I don't know why I lost my motivation, because you just dumped a bucket of water on your fire, right? We got to be the guardians of our own fire, right? Our lives are rules. But we do that, we have to understand, okay, I can make this water or I can make this food. It can drive me or suffocate me. Either way, it's my choice, no matter how hard it is.
And you're spot on, because so many people, the water is the self-destructive behavior, the voids that people are trying to fill. And they're going to, you know, maybe overeat. They're going to maybe do drinking or drugs, pornography, all these things. People
spending Amazon 2 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. I've been guilty of that shit.
Corporate media, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's an addiction. Social media.
Unlimited scrolling. Look at that. We get control. We get variety. If we post, we get significance. If we post what other people like too, we get connection. Even people hate our posts, we still fight. Yeah, it's real easy to slide into some of these things that seems okay, seems normal because other people are doing it, but really does a disservice to us, our families, and ultimately the summit, what we're trying to achieve for the quality of our lives, it makes getting to that summit even harder.
So like when people are watching right now and they're hearing what you have to say and they're starting to resonate, like, man, this guy's speaking to me. Because that's what a lot of times when people are ready for change, they're open to input more information, right? So what are you going to do, Joe? Like when they call or they go to your website, you know, what are they going to do? Walk us through that process of what that consult's going to be.
Well, I'll tell you what it's not. Like, let me start there, right? I'm not a therapist. I'm not a counselor. They mean well, but there's faster ways to create change, right? Instead of just talking about it. People need tools. Yeah, we need the willingness to use those tools, but we need those tools, right? So when people say, I want to stop procrastinating, I want to stop this, right? We just run our patterns. So really, what my first job to do when we do a complimentary coaching session is for me to really see two things from my side. Number one, does that person really want it? And that's not a test of desire. I don't challenge someone's desire. If I'm coaching you and you say, I want this, but I'm not doing it, I'm not going to question your desire. I might question your commitment, right? Discipline. I might challenge your strategy, but not your desire, right? So what happens is by peeling back the layers, right, I begin to see, does that person really want to be coached? Because you know this, I don't care how bad your life is, I can't get you to do something you don't want to do. You got to be willing. And number two, do I see your patterns? Because I said, I work a little bit different. I'm not a therapist. I am not someone's mom. I'm not like, you can do it, Garrett. Just believe in yourself. No one, everybody works too hard for their money, no matter how much you have of it, to give me your money so I can be a cheerleader. I'm a terrible cheerleader, right? We need honesty. That's what we need. Not because I require it, because you require it. We require self-honesty, one of the hardest disciplined muscles to build, right? So I look for, do I see your patterns? And most cases, I see your patterns. If I can see your patterns, I know how to navigate you through that, right? So really in the beginning of coaching is kind of help everyone wants, there we go, everybody wants to be here, whatever that represents. Better relationship, more money, out of debt, feeling better about yourself, not getting off medication that no longer serves you, right? Stuff like that. And people get here and they get stuck. They don't know how to align, right? That's the key. So really it's about how do I help people align, but then more importantly, how to stay there, right? So it's really about deep diving is a different approach because it's understanding the mechanics of why we do what we do. When we understand the mechanics, it's like you played football and you were great at football. But if you didn't understand the rules of football, right, you would be Happy Gilmore just tackling everybody and anybody, including the coach and the water boy and everybody else, right? Or not Happy Gilmore, a water boy, right? You just don't know. Yeah, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So we got to understand the principles and laws, right? So we can work with them instead of having everything work against us.
Yeah, because people are on auto programming ever since they were little, right? They're getting programmed. I mean, from everywhere, from your environment, from what you watch on TV, social media, friends and family. We're just all a computer program. And so when you're updating that new software, it is eye-opening to go down that path of self-discovery and everything else. And one of the things, as you are well aware of, is I had a problem with self-worth in the beginning of my journey. You know, my self-esteem was garbage. And a lot of people understand that and know that about me, but it was. But I do know this, you know, in like 18 months, I spent like $250,000 on coaching and seminars and everything that I did. And to be honest with you, when I look in the mirror, that's what I saw. I was worth something then because I was investing into myself, which that was one of the things that I had to accomplish on my journey is to, you know, understand and know that, yeah, I am worth something. And that's one of the things that people don't understand is when you're just going through life and you don't have that guide or that coach to just kind of call you out on some of the things that you may be subconsciously doing. You may not even be aware of it. And that is what he's talking about, folks, is throwing the water on your fire, limiting you. Because so many people are like, man, why can't I get this change? Why can't I grow? Why can't I do this or that or this? And sometimes it's just that what he just said about that, like getting that alignment together, and then you know what you don't know, and that's where change happens.
Yeah, because mechanically, right, like we have a misconception of what has to happen in order for us to take change. Oh, I just made a decision. Well, that's a good part of it, but you need more for sustainability, right? How are you going to keep that motivation and drive? That's why, Garrett, when I look for mechanics, I look for the greats of the greats, right? Because if you look at like sports, for example, sports is a great metaphor because it's defined 60 minutes in a football game, a season, a career. A career is not even that long. So we get to see stuff play out, right? So I look at some people who I love, the Muhammad Ali's, the Michael Jordan's, the Kobe Bryant's, right? Look at what they did. They had more failures than almost anybody, right? But they constantly worked at it. They constantly invested. I have clients that have been with me for 15 years. I got this one kid, he started 28 years old, part-time insurance salesman, doing great, but he ends up, you know, like dealing with his own demons. And the owners of the insurance company at the time thought, this kid's going to self-destruct. So he came to me, and the guy's a rock star. I didn't need to make him a rock star. I just had to ensure he stayed a rock star and didn't crash and burn, right? So he ended up buying the business because he had 63% of the book or 57% of the book, buying the business like $8 million, and then probably selling it just recently for like 30 some million on the top number, right? And he's 40 years old, but he still comes to me, right? Because most of the time we're talking about little stuff. But he had to deal with something not too long ago, and he had it there. It's the insurance. People think, oh, there's something wrong with me. I need help. That's what society teaches. I need help. Something wrong. No, no, no. If you look at the greats, they're like, F help. I want success. How do I get there? And if you look at the best of the best, they get more coaches as they get older. They get longer in the tooth. They get more and more coaches and specialists and trainers and all that crazy stuff, nutrients and mindset and this and that. So let's pull back, right? Like, success leaves clues. If you want success, we got to do what successful people do, right? Or you look at Elon Musk, right? Or Steve Jobs. Come on. Right. Whether you like Elon or not, the guy is disrupting and the guy started from nothing. Right. You got to give him credit. Like, holy shit. And, you know, what he's doing with Twitter and this. I mean, he's game, not game one game, but he's game one himself. He's investing in him, because if you don't invest in you, if you don't care about you at that level, how can we expect other people to?
Amen. So you brought up throughout the conversation firewalking. And so probably a lot of people are scratching their head. Like, did he say firewalking? Like, what do you mean by firewalking? You actually walk on hot coals? So let's describe to everyone, because I think everyone does this when they first firewalk, they kind of think in their mind, like, this ain't real. This is a gimmick. Until you light the fire and you're standing 5 feet away from that fire, you're like, this thing is hot. Like, I gotta walk on this barefoot. So like, kind of like take the audience through this, that kind of process, brother. And why do we do it?
We do a lot of firewalks. Like, we do a lot of corporate firewalks. We've done Google, Heineken, GE, government companies. We do a lot of entrepreneurs. There's an organization called YPO, Young Presidents Organization. We've done stuff with them around the country and around the world. There's another organization called Entrepreneurs Organization. It's like a Vistage on steroids, right? And we do a lot of work with them. I do a lot of work with type A entrepreneurs, because I'm kind of like that, right? Yeah. So, you know, the firewalk's interesting. People think it's mind over matter, and it's really not mind over matter, right? Like, flesh burns at 126, average coal is 1,000 to 1,200 degrees, right? So for most people, there's no redeeming value. If one of your viewers is like, I don't know if I want to do this fire. Garrett is great with everything, but I think this is cuckoo. Garrett hit the cuckoo range. It's okay. It's okay. There is no redeeming value in firewalking for most people. In other words, if that person gets to the end of their life, they go, I had the most fabulous life. I made money. I had kids. I did social impact. But I never did firewalk. I wasted my whole life. No, 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 no. See, I love firewalking so much that I bought the freaking company. Okay. Now, the redeeming value for most people of firewalking is we all have firewalks in life, financial, health. I mean, like, in the last year, I have a neck issue, I have a stomach issue, I have a migraine issue, herniated disc. That's a firewalk. How am I a single dad of a 10-year-old, run 2-3 businesses, work incredible hours, travel around the globe, doing all this shit, when my body is fighting against me? It's a firewalk. So how we show up to the firewalks of life, the crises of our lives, is going to determine the quality of our life. So we come up to a firewalk in our life, and we pull up and go, nope, I'm too scared, or we hesitate. And we lose that momentum. That will have major regrets in your life. So firewalking is about elevating your state. We all have these moments where we're in genius mode. Everything's flowing through us. Then the next moment, someone goes, hey, what's your phone number? You go, oh, and you gotta look. Right? We change state. What made Michael Jordan, I got a picture of Jordan behind me, right? So that's why I keep looking at it, right? If you look at Jordan's flu game, when he had like 104 flu because of food poisoning, right? What made him, right? It wasn't talent. Yeah, talent helped, but it was his indomitable spirit not to let the external circumstances impact his internal will and goals. And most people can do that at times. They can go into an elevated state, but they don't know how to do it, right? That's the thing. They have this, they're a genius at it. No, so it shows up here or shows up occasionally. I don't like those odds, right? I want to learn, and what I've learned and what I teach is how to get yourself in the appropriate state for any situation. And I proved it. I've done firewalks. I've done events where my mom, it was expected, died in the middle of a seminar. And I had to go and do take care of it and come back for two more days. And my seminars aren't like 9 to 5. They're like 9 to 12, 1, 2 in the morning, right? I've done a seminar where I realized 30 minutes before I had a hernia, and it was so infected, I almost passed out twice on stage. You know, I've done one of my biggest events 3 days after my partner, who planned to get married, ended the relationship, right? You can't control what life gives you, but you can control your emotional state. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Firewalking, because we all have this visceral relationship with fire. We all stared at a fire, whether we want to walk on it or not. It's such an elevated activity, right? And that we teach you how to manage your state, how to get into that genius state intentionally. See, that's what it's about intentionally getting there. Now, it doesn't become something you hope shows up. You become Michael Jordan as saying, you know what? I've been food poisoned, got 104. I'm going to find that next level where I can perform at my very best.
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. So did you get that code uploaded by chance? Did you put that on the comment?
Yeah, I put it on the, it's in the private chat. Do you see that?
Oh, yep. I got it right here. Okay. Well, I'm going to push this right now. Let me put it in the comments. So if anybody would like to have a free consult with Joe, you can go to the link that I just typed in on the comments, and you will be able to get scheduled. And like I said, you know, it's an amazing experience to go down this journey and just kind of self-discovery on finding out how you tick, how you operate, and some of the things that he will call you out on. And he will. He's really good at calling you out and holding you accountable. And folks, people need accountability, man. You truly do. So many people try to do it on their own. And I'm here to tell you, there are some great people out there. And if Joe's not one of the people that you want, I strongly encourage you all to search out some type of coach to talk to, because everybody needs to have conversation. Everybody needs to, you know, look at themselves in the mirror and figure out what you really want to do on this beautiful cosmic journey called life. But my goodness gracious, you take away the L and the E, you get if. All right. So if you're going to achieve everything that you want to on this beautiful journey, or maybe not. So Joe's going to be with us over the next couple of weeks. We're going to have him on again on Monday and the following Monday. And we're just going to continue to evolve this conversation.
Yeah.
And give you guys a lot of information. Joe, is there anything else you'd like to tell the audience today?
Yeah. No, it's interesting. You said something very powerful, right? And especially for stronger personality, men, women who type A, if you've done a disc profile, higher D, right? The alpha male competitor, right? Like what makes us successful is we don't need people, right? No one told me how to start a coaching practice. I just figured it out. No one told you how to do stuff, right? No one told Elon Musk how to become one of the richest people in the freaking world when you have nothing, right? But that's what makes us great. But understand this, every asset can be a liability, right? So just because we can do stuff on our own doesn't always mean we should. No. That's like one, like at 57, I'll be 57 next month, next week. At 57, that's like one of the big things I learned, because I have a lot of ego at times. I have a lot of pride at times, conviction at times. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. And that gives me that pause so I don't go on autopilot, right? And I get to evaluate. So yeah, there's people out there saying, oh, I can do it on my own. You can. You can absolutely do it. You don't need me. Right. But if you want to get there faster, sooner, easier, less collateral damage, less time. Right. Yeah. Then you got to call me. Right. Because if you look at everything in life. Right. And if I polled 1,000 Americans, what's most important right now, especially today's world, you'll get so much stuff. And I'm not saying that's not important. Right? Regardless of what you believe in this and that, you know, your beliefs are your beliefs. Right? I honor that. But the biggest thing is time. Right? Time. That's what we take for granted. Because doing it our way or trying to reinvent a wheel, right? All that does, we have to pay for that on the convenience of that with the currency called time. Like if you went out and you bought a high definition TV, right, for the Super Bowl game, you have two ways of buying that. You can pay cash, and whatever that price of that TV, just say it's $2,000, it's going to cost you nothing more. But you could also put it on a credit card, make it easier for yourself, and pay the minimum, right, over 5-6 years. And you're going to end up paying over $3,000, $3,200, something like that with interest charge, right? That's what we do. We don't realize the currency of time. Now, you can come to my seminar and think it sucks and make that money back. But you can't get back time, right? Because regardless of what you believe, afterlife, heaven, hell, all that, right? As Steve Jobs says, even those who believe in heaven don't want to die to get there. You know what I mean? Like, how do we maximize this time here on Earth? Well, to do that, we have to realize our most valuable commodity is time. It's time. So that we're able to do the thing that brings us the most joy and fulfillment. That's like the battle. From the stuff we got to do, right, to the stuff that gives us more fulfillment and joy. And hopefully as we get older, the stuff we have to do becomes smaller and we get more time doing the stuff that fulfills us, the sustainable food, not the junk food that fills us for the moment, but then we're hungry half hour later. I'm talking about the good nutrients, right? So to do that, we have to respect and honor time like never before, because I don't care how much money you have, I don't care how many houses, I don't care what political office, you can't take any of that with you.
Yep.
Amen, brother. And there's awesome. No guarantees.
Yep. You're right about that. Well, Joe, thank you so much for coming on again. His website is in the description, in the comments on each of the platforms is the consult that you can click on and schedule with Joe. If you're wanting a change, if you desire a change, if you feel like you're stuck, and you just need that little oomph to get to that next level of your life, you know, just give him a call. Give him a call. Have this conversation. You never know what we say over and over again. Just you never know what that conversation will bring and the millions of lives that you may change because of that conversation. You are that powerful. That's for sure. Joe, we will see you next week at 10 a.m., brother.
Can I offer one quick suggestion?
Yes, please.
I'm sure, you know, I know your group loves you and they should love you because you are such an amazing person and you offer so much wealth of knowledge and information and heart and caring. And I can tell you, you know, so many of the clients that you refer to me, most of them are still with me.
Yep.
I think it was you or one of your doctors referred a woman. I coached her. I'm still coaching her. I started coaching her son when he was 14. Now he's 18. Yep. And now he's ready for this 18-year-old kid. Know what he's doing? right? He's taken classes in college, like business and psychology. No degree, auditing. He's getting in real estate and he's investing. Every day he's investing. 18 years old. And now, because the grandfather saw so much progress with his daughter-in-law and his grandson, he's like, I need to talk to Joe too. So think about what you've done here. You've helped to impact a whole family.
Yeah.
Whole family. That's a generational impact, right? So, you know, if anybody out there, you know, since we're going to do a couple more here, if they have a question, right, email you, message you, love to kind of get some questions from the people, you know, if you don't mind me soliciting that, some questions so we can pinpoint our conversations even more accurately.
Yeah, I would love that. So if anyone has a comment that you would like Joe and I to talk about, or a subject or a question about anything, maybe it's a struggle in your life and what you're doing, throw that in the comment section. We'll get to it. And then we will, you know, spearhead the interview next week and really try to help a lot of people, because Joe knows this more than anyone. A lot of people, they all have the same damn problem.
Well, the end of the day, yeah, if you boil down the circumstance, everything what I would call in the emotion, the experience, and you just break it down to nuts and bolts, it's the same thing, right? Like self-worth issues, or everyone has it. Like real quick, I did a grassroots conference in Northern California. I was a host of it, TED Talk. Think TED Talk, but bales of hay. We had the surgeon, the number one gastroenterologist in the world. He was the president of the world body. He was friends with the promoter's father. And he's the guy that diagnosed and operated on Steve freaking Jobs.
Wow.
And he became president for one reason, started initiative to train doctors in Africa for these life-saving procedures. And his whole goal was he didn't even want to be a part of it. He just thought the group should be doing more, and he wanted to be president to set it up. So he came to this conference to talk to 50 people on bales of hay. And he was literally, him and his girl, with the suitcases, walking to their car. And the father came and got me and said, you got to stop the doctor. He's leaving. I'm like, why? He goes, he's scared. Why is he scared? He flies on Lear jets, 5-star hotels, talks procedures for thousands. He said, but this is his intimates. This is his baby. And I had to coach him for a day and a half. I mean, this is, his hands were inside Steve Jobs. Jesus, he's one of the most respected people in the world for what he does. And he was still feeling not enough. And the guy was a brilliant soul. He invited me to eat with him at every meal. And I got to know him and his partner. And they're just wonderful people. And it taught me a valuable lesson. If the best of best can have insecurities, then we all have insecurities. The question is, how do we handle them? How do we coach ourselves? How do we interface with them? That's really the gold of the gold, because I always say this, Garrett, you know, problems are a sign of life, right? The only people who don't have problems are the cemetery, or at least no earthly problems. So they're like a box of tissues. I don't care whatever's sticking out. You take that out, there's going to be another problem. Yeah. And sometimes couple tissues come out. You get multiple problems. So the most valuable thing in life is learning how to deal with the problems of life, right? How to take back control of our lives by being better coaches and stop relying on everyone else to tell us what to do. Not to give us insight, but, you know, looking external for what I should do.
Awesome. Well, guess what? We get two more interviews with this guy, and I'm fired up for this month. This is going to be one of my favorite months. You know, the mentally stuff is, I just really love really challenging myself, and I love challenging other people to get stronger mentally. So, Joe, thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Thank you. I can't wait to do more, and always good to just chat with you, my brother. I appreciate it. Man.
I love you, brother.
All right. I love you too.
All right, man.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Folks, again, I would strongly encourage you, if you're looking for a change, if you just want to be held accountable, no matter what it is, it may be, maybe you're trying to lose weight or trying to be a better version of yourself, or maybe you're having some financial struggles, or you want some, just bounce off some ideas. I strongly encourage you, go to his website, go to the link that's in the comments. I'm going to put that link in the description after this live is done. Just have a conversation with him. You know, you just never know. You never know where that conversation will lead. Maybe you get on, you're like, oh, it's not for me. At least you tried. You know, that action in itself is going to build self-worth. Okay. So Joe will be on again next week. So God bless you. God bless the state of Michigan, of course, and always God bless these United States. Bye-bye.